Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
$250 cap for Pace specifically. I'm not going to speak about Avalon or Midway, but for Pace, working with the property appraiser, some preliminary numbers, implementing the changes that are being proposed, and with us moving to the from 150 base to the maximum, would still produce a $500,000 to $700,000 deficit in our budget. That would be a detrimental issue for us, for sure.
So this is the conversation about funding the fire service in Pace and Avalon, although Pace specifically, but you know also Avalon. Santa Rosa County, of course, recently had changed the rules, or the state had changed the rules and allowed a much greater bill for fire, including billing churches, thousands of dollars. People's fire bills have gone up. This seems to be a problem in both counties and across the state. Nick Gradia, who you know from working with the union here in Escambia County, a good friend, and he said, look, if you put this cap, because what had happened is that Nathan Boyles, who's the new representative for District 3, the north end, basically all of Santa Rosa and a little bit of Okaloosa, except for the southern and the beach area, and he had come forward with a bill that he was going to propose that would have capped it at $250 for homes. And Nick's like, you know, hey, look, if you put this in, it's going to make us have a $500,000 to a $700,000 shortfall for fire service, which is a problem. And also,
going this route would reduce the tax rate. I mean, let's call it what it is. It would end up creating a significant tax cut for the more affluent residents and larger homes, and it would cause an increase for the more impoverished or those that choose to live in a smaller home. That's what would ultimately end up happening here.
Because it stops being based, what, on home value, I guess. I think it's an ad valorem, the way it had been funded. And with limits now, if the limit goes in, it's going to help people who have more money, right? Which we've talked about this a lot. How should you fund fire service? Kind of a theme for the day, by the way, and previously as well.
The Pace community has a growing demand for the many services that we provide. We are already at a bit of a loss in trying to determine a mechanism to allow for the growth needed in the future. These proposed changes would further complicate those goals, simply making them unattainable. These proposed changes could jeopardize service levels and the prosperity and livelihoods of our firefighters. They deserve to have security in their jobs and in their careers. So
he's saying that some of the cuts been proposed, or it's the limits, maybe you would say, on the taxation, are problematic because it's going to underfund the fire service and put people's properties at risk because there will be fewer firefighters with fewer apparatus and so forth. Then you have on sort of the other side of the equation, several other people as well. Major Ken Schneider, retired U.S. Air Force, he said that the problem with these bills is that they eliminated the exemption for disabled and widows, military, because that's causing them to have to pay all of a sudden that previously they didn't have to pay these fees.
I'm here today on behalf of many vulnerable citizens in Santa Rosa County who have been impacted by the passage of the fire tax bills, specifically 100% disabled veterans, individuals with disability, and certain military widows. As you know, these laws removed the ad valorem taxing authority from three fire districts in Midway, Pace, and Avalon, and replaced it with non-ad valorem assessments. Through a public record request, the Santa Rosa County Property Appraiser Office provided me the following data. Individuals who were previously fully exempt under the law, commitments the state has honored since 1957, have now received tax bills showing annual assessments between $300 and $800. This includes 1,330 total and permanent disabled veterans, 25 100% combat wounded veterans, 101 military widows, 4 surviving spouses of first responders, 9 quadriplegics, 8 totally blind individuals. Can you imagine handing these protected classes a bill they were previously exempted for?
Yeah, because historically, what we have said is that certain people, disabled or especially military-connected disability or widows or first responder disability or widows, you guys don't have to pay these fees as a community. We'll pick up the tab for that. That's been kind of the attitude. Now, you could have a conversation about whether the community should be paying for things like this or not, or whether they should pay for it a different way or not. But to suddenly wipe out those exemptions without having maybe much of a conversation about it is a problem.
Exemptions represent a longstanding promise to protect disabled veterans and citizens with the greatest hardships. Their financial loss appears to be an unintended consequence. As nowhere in the staff analysis, the economic impact statement, or the subcommittee hearing was this issue ever disclosed or discussed. Representative Boyles, I want to thank you for listening to your constituents and leading the effort in making adjustments in other areas of these two of the three bills.
So that's one of the concerns. Of course, the cost to churches who had previously also been exempt because historically religious institutions are often exempt from various kinds of taxation, and they're starting to pay. So a lot of questions surrounding this sudden change, and, you know, we'll see what they wind up proposing. We'll finish this up in a second because both Alex Andrade and Nathan Boyles had comments on the subject. John Pickens has traffic on the five. John, you live in the area. Well, you live in Avalon Pace
I live in Milton.
Okay, so not – okay, you're not Milton has its own fire. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
But this is a big deal for a lot of people, and a lot of people are paying money, and they're worried about the future fire. And so anyway, go ahead.
Yes, sir. We've got no accidents to report to you right now. We're looking at I-10, I-1, 10, 90, 98. Everything's flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying a house, selling a house, moving to Avalon, Pace, Midway, or away, I mean, from Escambia to Santa Rosa, vice versa, to the beach, you know, your home need to get it a little bit smaller because the kids have left and you don't want to mow your lawn anymore. You want to buy a condo, or, you know, you're starting a family and you want to get a house for the first time or grow the house because you got more kids. Whatever your need is, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they can take care of you and they'll help you really have confidence that you've got the best possible advice from experts who do this enough that they know. They know what the price is. They know what you can ask for and what you'll probably get said no about or what you might get said yes about, what you can say no to if somebody asks you, like because they do so many transactions, over 165 a year. In fact, you know, last year was 165. The year before that was 175. It was plus 200 when the times were a little bit easier a couple of years ago. So they do this a lot over and over and over again. So they know exactly what's happening in the market and what's normal, which is ultimately one of the reasons you want them, because you do a real estate transaction every 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they do 3 or 4 a week. And that's an expertise level that you want. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Back to the comments by the elected representatives in response to the issues surrounding the Pace Avalon Midway fire changes last year. Alex Andrade, state representative for District 2, so he'd be Midway.
A few notes I wanted to leave you all with here. One, if you've been struggling with your fire districts, encourage them, your elected fire commissioners, to consider something like a rebate if you're concerned about exemptions that were lost in the switch to ad valorem, and encourage them not to levy the maximum amounts that they're permitted to by law.
So he's saying you have other remedies besides getting us to change the law. Just go to your fire people and say, hey, stop charging us so much, or you have charged us so much, maybe issue a rebate. So he's trying to get the local government, the most responsive to the local people, to handle this problem, which is, you know, in some ways this was created by the legislature, but in other ways it's the local officials enacting what the legislature permits them to enact, right? Which is, I think there's both truths to what Alex is saying.
As we've seen, as this discussion has continued to grow, local governments oftentimes grow to the size of the fishbowl that they're in.
Yeah, the what's the old, was it Peterson principle, Parkinson's principle? Anyway, the one that, you know, the amount of time it takes to do a thing expands for the amount of time allotted to it. Same thing, local governments, a lot of times the amount of money that they need expands to the amount of money that they're able to take, right? And so same thing for a fire district. If they're able to take it, they'll find a way to spend the money. It's not like they're going to, you know, not find ways to use the money. It's kind of what he's saying is local governments, which are not just cities and counties, but can be all different kinds of governments, including the fire service. And then Nathan Boyles, who is District 3 representative.
There's some data points just for reference. For a 2,500 square foot home in the Pace Fire District right now, that assessment's $262. In Avalon, it's $388. And in the city of Berkeley, California, it's $294. And so I just really believe strongly in Northwest Florida and our ability to do things better. And I believe that we can provide great public safety protection to our citizens. And I think, frankly, we can do it better than they do it in Berkeley, California.
And my takeaway from that comment is, if in Berkeley, one of the most ridiculous places governed in the United States and extraordinarily expensive, if they can manage to make it work on 290 and a house in, gosh, what would a 2,400 square foot house in Berkeley be? $1.5 million, I'm guessing, in that vicinity. Maybe 2 million these days. Good Lord. Anyway, if they can make it work on under 300, we can certainly make it work on 250. It's kind of his argument. You know, we don't need to do more than that. Specifically, I think, responding to Nick Gradia. So it's a conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. You know, where do they get the money? How much do they really need? And Escambia, just for comparison, under the new tax that the Escambia County Commissioners raised recently, it goes up to $250 for an ordinary home. You know, a homeowner, regular, you know, your home is $250. And then there's a different fee. There's a different rate for businesses. So if you want a comparison, you know, and see what other people locally are doing, that's what, you know, we're doing in Escambia County. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi. But you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction. 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Hobbies could be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that was fun and could make you some money? Find out how Thursday at 10:30 with Emerald Coast Coins on Pep Talk. You'll hear about how precious metals are a great hobby and investment. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy, sell gold and silver. Emerald Coast Coins, Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
You know, it takes a lot of courage to get up here and do something that you know people will make fun of.
My favorite part of that little song was, yeah, right at the end. 622 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Tuesday. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Let's see here. The White House blasting the Trump-appointed judge blocking the president's deployment of federal troops to Oregon. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt telling reporters yesterday that the judge's opinion is untethered in reality and in the law. Meanwhile, National Guard troops now hitting the streets of Chicago very soon, despite legal challenges there as well.
You know, just one thought occurs to me. The idea, you mentioned that he's a Trump-appointed judge. Judges get appointed, and then once they're appointed, they might tell you no. And that's what you want. You want a separation of powers. You want a checks and balances. You want judges. If I were the president, I am unelectable, but if I were the president, I'd be a terrible president anyway. If I were the president, I would want judges who would tell me no when I'm wrong. That's kind of the idea of the system. Anyway, go ahead, David. It's just that idea of it being Trump appointed as opposed to, you know, Bush appointed or Obama or Clinton or whatever. So go ahead.
In an Israel Democracy Institute poll finds that 64% of Israelis want Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to resign over his handling of the war in Gaza and the humanitarian crisis there. 66% say they want the war in Gaza to end. Public opinion about ending that war up by about 13% over last year. And fans can get a firsthand glimpse into Ozzy Osbourne's reflections on his legacy in a posthumous memoir that's being released this week. And an excerpt from Last Rites, published by The Times. Osbourne said, quote, "I think I made a mark on the world."
It's kind of hard to imagine somebody like Ozzy keeping an idea to himself. You know, like, what? How much of this would be new information? You know what I mean? I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, it seems like...
Yeah, he was pretty open
was keeping a lot of secrets about his opinions on things. Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, they're all still rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Let's see, what else do we have going on here? Oh, very interesting story. Scary story, a little bit concerning story, but a new study comes out, and I will tell you in advance, this is a limited study based on one county in Ohio. But over the course of 6 years, they studied all of the crash fatalities, all the traffic fatalities in that county, and they discovered that a significant portion of them were involved or had involved high drivers on marijuana. Now, John, if you had to take a guess, what would the data show? The number of fatalities, what percentage of those crashes involved high drivers with marijuana?
64%.
No, it's actually lower than that. Really? You think two-thirds of all fatalities involve high
especially
drivers?
Especially in Ohio. I don't blame
42%.
Them. 42.
Yeah, 42%. So 2 in 5. And the numbers are enormous. They were talking about the, like, you know, what's the rate of, like, the blood alcohol content, which is not, it's not alcohol, but blood THC content is like 30 was it nanograms, I think it is, per milliliter is the measurement that they use. And they said that, like, many states, which we don't have a regulated number in Florida, but the 30 nanograms per milliliter is the rate. And a lot of states have limits of like 2 or 5. Nanograms per milliliter. Ohio has 2. Nevada has 5. And so some places have zero tolerance, which means any detectable THC means that you're ineligible to drive. So this is not like people got high at, you know, 8 a.m. and then they're driving at 6 p.m. This is people got high at 8 a.m. and they're driving at 8:01. Or they're smoking in the car or whatever. But man, 40%. Now, it's been selected by a committee. It's not a peer-reviewed study yet. It is available. It's been widely reported on, but... You know, and it is only the one county over the course of 6 years, so it's kind of early phases, but my goodness, that is an enormous number. I checked real quick with a couple of people to see if it fit with what they thought, and, you know, some folks who would be in a position to know, and they were like, wow, that is high, let me check, and, you know, had one person tell me, well, Andrew, in Florida, it's not so much the marijuana, it's the meth. So we'll talk with this. We'll talk about this with Sheriff Simmons coming up next hour.
Wow.
But still, you know... In places where it's legal is one thing, but even basically part of the study was that even in places where it's, you know, only medical, like in Florida, you know, you still have this risk. So just the idea that if you could eliminate, think about like drunk driving back before there was MAD. You know, drunk driving still happens, but before there was MAD, it was like everybody drove drunk. I mean, not, but you know, it's very common. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving had enough of their kids get killed, and they thought, we'll do something about this. So they made this massive campaign, got a lot of laws passed, and they basically changed the landscape of American driving forever so that now it is morally offensive to people to see other people drive drunk, right? Whereas it was sort of accepted in the, what, 70s, okay? Well, right now we have a problem with high driving. And how worked up are people about that? I mean, if you really ask them, they probably are. But, that, you know, it's not doesn't kind of have that same social stigma that marijuana use has. But press X to doubt if you think that a lot of people aren't driving high right now.
I mean, press X.
Right? they're all over the place. You can smell it, for goodness sakes. 628 on News Radio 92.3. If you are looking for new windows or you just have questions about what it would take to maybe get better insulation because your windows are a great source of heat loss in the winter or cold loss in the summer, also, you know, good for keeping you from the neighborhood's noise. You know, neighbor's noise sometimes. The best thing you need for bad neighbors is good windows. you know, that can help. Also for security. So if any of those things apply, or if you just have old windows. I mean, maybe you just want better windows. Well, go to New South Windows. Check them out. They got a store they just opened recently. It's in Davis Highway, right in the Hobby Lobby Books a Million Shopping Center at 6235 North Davis Highway. Go in there. Look around, visit the local showroom for premium protection from hurricanes. Of course, better for storm protection as well with good windows, intruders, and noise. Bring your window and your door measurements into New South Windows. They're New South proud, and you can find out more information online at newsouthwindow.com. 629 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of cool. I keep forgetting to mention this. This was, we just found this out late last night, but Pensacola has been named to Condé Nast Traveler's Reader's Choice Awards again, third year in a row. Best cities in the United States under 350,000 population. So 55,000 live in Pensacola. So that's pretty fantastic. You know, we need a little bit of good news on the two-year anniversary of the Hamas murder of so many Israelis. But, yeah, so pretty cool. Third year in a row, Condé Nast Traveler's Reader's Choice Awards, best cities in the U.S. under $350,000. Congratulations, Pensacola. You're a nice place to live. Jimmy Patronis is foregoing his congressional pay as the federal shutdown goes. You know, I tried to find out, and I don't want to say it's none, but I know several Republicans are doing this. I don't know if any Democrats are. And I tried to find out, and I couldn't find, like, a list anywhere of all the ones who are doing it, but could be some Democrats are, but the ones I know of are Republicans who are all foregoing it, at least for now.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. It's the second anniversary of the October 7th terror attack that set off the Israel-Hamas war. Negotiators in Egypt are working for a second straight day to finalize a peace deal.
Under phase one of that peace plan, a ceasefire is supposed to take effect in Gaza. Also part of phase one, the release of 48 hostages by Hamas, 20 of whom who are believed to be alive.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan. Now, the shutdown in Washington, entering its seventh day, as two more test votes failed in the Senate, travelers now feeling real-world consequences at the nation's airports.
The FAA is saying, as Secretary Duffy said, there have been increased staffing shortages across the system. And when that happens, the FAA slows traffic into some airports to ensure safe operations. On Monday, the airport in Burbank, California, operated for several hours without air traffic controllers.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, America's listening to Fox News.
I do not believe that we don't have enough to go around as long as we all work together. Yeah. There is so much food that comes in on pallets.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 73 degrees. It's partly cloudy here this morning in Pensacola. Well, the government shutdown continuing, food banks like Feeding the Gulf Coast preparing for a big surge in demand.
I know just going to the grocery store myself yesterday and looking at how much you get in your basket for in your cart for the amount of money you're buying, you can quickly understand how missing a paycheck could really dramatically impact folks that are living paycheck to paycheck. So we fully expect those lines to get longer than they already are.
That's President and CEO Michael Ledger of Feeding the Gulf Coast, and he says they are a disaster organization and see increases in demand with hurricanes and natural disasters. But he says a shutdown like this can be a disaster for families that now don't have money for food. With many federal workers facing missed paychecks, the organization is now bracing for longer lines at their distribution facilities. The Florida Public Service Commission beginning what could be a two-week-long hearing on Florida Power and Light's request to raise their base rates. The utility wants a $10 billion boost over the next 4 years. That number has shrunk a little bit through a settlement agreement.
Now we're looking at just $2.50 more per month next year, or a 2% average annual increase overall.
Andrew Sutton from FPL. Consumer advocates believe residents should be seeing more relief in this agreement. The PSC's decision could come as soon as next month. If they approve the rate hikes, they could begin as soon as January. An elderly woman was rescued in Shalimar after her husband reported her missing after a late-night walk with their son's dog, Eeyore. The husband was concerned when the woman didn't return after more than an hour. He called 911. Deputies began searching the area. Eventually, they found the dog. The dog led them straight back to the woman who'd fallen and been injured. The woman said after she fell, the dog stayed with her, but did leave and then came back to her eventually, bringing the deputy with. Well, it's free college application week in Alabama during that period, which runs through October 10th. High school seniors that are looking to attend a college in the fall can submit their applications to multiple schools and universities and not have to pay the usual fees. Records show more than 26,000 students applied for admission during last year's Free College Week campaign. The University of West Florida is having its inaugural Leadership in the Age of AI conference next month. That'll happen November 7th at the UWF Conference Center. The conference will feature keynote speaker Dr. Iman El-Sheikh, along with panelists that include local CEOs and experts. Attendees will be exploring the challenges and also the opportunities of integrating AI into leadership roles. They'll also have discussions and networking opportunities throughout the day. The conference runs from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. November 7th. Registration is limited, and we do have some information up on the News Radio website if you want to get a ticket to get to that. 635 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you were on Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile Road southbound, you're going to see just some minor delays in that. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly even through the construction zones. I'm John Pixins with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Wednesday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. For Thursday, rain chances dropping, 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 86. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 72 and partly cloudy. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
I told this board years ago,
multiple times. Why are y'all in the ambulance business? Why are y'all in the medical business? Just like the real estate business. Why are y'all in the medical business? Y'all think that these billion-dollar hospitals won't operate? You think they won't operate an ambulance service to get their customers to the hospital? They want those customers. They need those customers. Y'all are in a business you shouldn't be in.
And this is Larry Downs Jr. talking at the most recent Escambia County Commission meeting last Tuesday. And, John, I know you're chuckling because you remember my comments I made earlier saying he sounds like a little bit like Bill Cosby there in the middle.
He does.
I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark?
In the Larry Downs version.
Business? Why y'all in the medical business?
Businesses.
Yep. No, but he's raising a fair question, which is, you know, why should a government do ambulances? I mean, look, a lot of times we do a thing because we've always done a thing. And, you know, the government provides ambulances or contracts. In Santa Rosa County, they contract with Lifeguard. In Escambia County, they provided, you know, in-house. You could theoretically have, you know, out-of-government fire, in-government fire, out-of-government police, in-government police. I mean, you know, government funds it. But should they be? I mean, he's making the point that, look, hospitals make money off of ER trips, and why couldn't hospitals either run the ambulances or provide the service? It's not a ridiculous question. I mean, Larry Downs often brings up many ridiculous things, but this one is, I mean, you know, it's at least worth asking. Sometimes you don't know why you do a thing until somebody forces you to defend it. But this has been a big question because, you know, EMS in Escambia County, Emergency Management Services, is going to write off, or did actually write off. Not even write off. They sent a bad debt collection, $17 million. Every year it's about 10 to 11. It's really the same this year, but a lot of that was a catch up from years past where it hadn't been sent to bad debt and it should have been. It's people who are uninsured, people who don't pay their bill, and it just accumulates over time. So now they've cleaned it up. So next year it should be back to only being 10 or 11 million. Now they take in 58 million. So, you know, don't cry too much, Argentina, but, you know, 80% collection. It's still a moneymaker. Okay. But it is a fair question about how we should do this. Now, Mike Kohler, who's, of course, a nurse, he's also county commissioner.
The problem with this, and unfortunately, I think the citizens of the county expect us to, you know, treat them if they're dying. I mean, I think that's a government function that most people expect.
And that's a fair comment, that people expect there to be a treatment for or a life-saving element. We have lifeguards, we have fire, we have EMS. You know, why wouldn't we save people's lives? That's a government function.
I can only imagine if we made $58 million, right? And we have to bill 17. That's 81%. It's still not good, and that's why I asked CMR to go out and basically educate the community.
And the key he's getting at there is educating the community towards better use of ambulance services, not calling them for frivolous things, not calling them for not genuine emergencies, understanding that, you know, unless somebody's really dying, you can drive them to the hospital, that kind of stuff, because when we have too many people using this service and not enough people paying for it, that creates other stresses. Plus, if it's not a necessary emergency, you're taking away from the capacity of the system to respond to people who are having a real-life emergency.
When our fellow citizens use an ambulance and it's not for an emergency, you're putting other fellow citizens at risk to die. It's that serious. Because if resources are tied up in non-emergent care, that means that, and I know your story with getting to Sacred Heart with your daughter is one of those stories that you ran on.
Yeah, Ashley Hoffberger ran because of an EMS delay where she asked the EMS dispatcher, how long is it going to be? And they couldn't tell her. She's like, well, that's not acceptable. I'm running for county commission. I'll fix this problem.
It's a real story that happens in every community. We have a responsibility to educate our citizens on when they should call the 911 number, and hopefully we can make some headway, because it's in all of our interests. It's in the ER's interest. Only 5% of the people that go to the ER are actually ER patients.
But Mike, an emergency in your mind, it may not be an emergency in my mind. An emergency in my mind may not be one in yours. When I think that my mother's having a heart attack, I'm calling 911, whether she's having it or not. I mean, so, you know, when a kid gets hurt, I mean, I understand what you're saying, educating them, yeah, and going, but, I mean, when it's your loved one sitting there, or your child, you're going to call. Error on the side of caution.
No. I mean, there are cases where you're unsure. And if you think somebody's having a heart attack, that's fine. Okay, but if a kid breaks his leg, put him in the car. You know, drive them. Now, if you don't have a car, what are you going to do? I understand. But there are cases where you do not need an ambulance. There are cases where you definitely do need an ambulance. And there are cases that are uncertainties. And you can ask the, you know, ask the 911. You can call them and say, hey, you know, is this an emergency? I don't know if I need an ambulance. You know, how bad is it? Because sometimes you need to go to urgent care. Sometimes it can wait till tomorrow. You can go to see your regular doctor. But anyway, this so Lumen's defense of people calling ambulances all the time, again, there's some truth to that, but there's also some truth to the fact that people need to learn when not to call an ambulance or when not to ask for a transport, right? Because that's another issue. You call and maybe a fire truck responds to your emergency, but they got to wait for an ambulance to get there because they can't transport. You can decline an ambulance. You don't have to have an ambulance just because you called somebody out.
Look, I got scars all over this body, man, doing this in Oakland and all other places. It's a chronic problem across the United States. It just is. But we have to try to address it when we're losing $17 million. I mean, we can't just say, well, let's put our hands up and do nothing.
Yeah, but when you do a real analysis, are you losing $17 million? And then you look at your profit margin because EMS is almost an enterprise that takes care of itself. So you can say we're losing money, but we are making money. And the governmental function is not made to make money. You know, and so we could really, however you want to lay out the performer, I bet we could lay out a case that we're not losing money if we really wanted to.
And there's validity to that, too. A system that is successfully billing $58 million, you know, maybe it doesn't look so much like a charity anymore. Of course, who's paying? Well, insurance pays and people who can afford to pay. Who doesn't pay? People who don't have insurance or people who just won't pay or can't pay because of whatever financial circumstances. So there's kind of truth in several different parts of this conversation. And still, you have this question of teaching people how to use the system appropriately.
All I'm saying is, if I'm in the ER treating someone, I want to treat people that are dying. I don't want to treat people in primary care because other people will be hurt from that, Lumen.
I hear what you're saying, Mike, but if I think my mom's dying, I still want to go to ER, even if she's not dying.
I understand. I mean, that's, and a lot of people use that service that way.
And some people don't have an option but to use that service. So,
there's another question here, but it's not really directly being addressed in this conversation, but I do think it's a really interesting question. A question of whether you should pay for using the ambulance or not. We'll come back to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Taking a look at I-10, I-110. Not seeing any delays there. If you are on Highway 29 approaching both from the northbound and southbound directions, 9 Mile, you're going to see just some minor delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So the question of who should pay and how much you should pay for what services, I think is a very interesting public policy question. And I wanted to raise it because they're having this discussion about EMS and bad debt, and especially Larry's comment, Larry Downs Jr.'s comment about how, you know, well, why don't the hospitals just run the ambulance service? Or why not have it just be privately operated? I mean, if it can be run for a profit, you know, private companies can run it. Why do you have to have it be a public service? And Mike Kohler says, well, it's life-saving, and that should be a public service. But just This is going to be a troublesome thing to think about, but here I want you to think about it because, you know, we're all self-governing citizens. Should people have to pay for an ambulance? And should we have to pay for an ambulance if we don't use it? Because how does this work? Like, you know, somebody's having a heart attack in your house or you think they are and you call 911 and they dispatch EMS and they come look at you and they think you're having a heart attack. So they do life-saving and they take you to the hospital and you pay whatever the amount's going to be or your insurance pays, depending on your coverage. I don't know what an ambulance ride is these days, but I'm guessing it's $1,000. Maybe it's more. I don't know. Somebody texted me. We got a lot of first responders listening to this show. I could be totally off. Let's say it's $1,000 that comes to your bill. So you pay $1,000. And maybe the actual sunk cost of the ambulance trip is $2,000. Maybe it's $500. Again, I don't know. Okay? I'm kind of asking. Should you have to pay because you used it? I mean, think about a fire call. You call the, you know, Cambie County Fire Rescue to come to your house. They come to your house and they put out the fire. Or, you know, if there's not a fire, okay, they come and they don't send you a bill. That's just part of being a service. If you call the cops, they don't send you a bill. You know, there are a lot of people that never call the police, never have to call the fire, never have to call EMS. Their taxes in one form or another, whether it's through property taxes or through MSBU or an MSTU or, you know, whatever the funding may come from, somebody's paying for some of it. Well, what if they never use it? Is that fair? Should the people who use it have to pay for the whole cost of using it? I mean, should you have to pay, I don't know, $250 when the police come to your house? No? $500 when they send a fire truck to your house? I mean, a fire truck has got to be at least as expensive to operate as an ambulance. We just don't do it that way. Well, why not? I don't know. We could. Although, John, you were telling me that in Santa Rosa, you think maybe.
Yeah, I think maybe. I've heard. I can't verify it. We've never had to use it, but.
Okay. And you know, we do charge people for certain elements of things, like the dumb motorist law. If you drive into a flooded area, you're paying for it, you know?
I didn't even know that one.
I think it's true in Florida. I know it's true most everywhere else I've ever lived, where if you drive into standing water and they have to come rescue your dummy. Profanity. you know, then you're gonna pay $15,000-$20,000 for the cost of the rescue. Don't drive into standing water or running water. Yeah, don't be dumb. But look, you know, you're on the beach, okay, and you're struggling, and the lifeguard comes and gets you. They don't hand you a bill. Now, if they transport you Lifelight, there's a bill, but that's an ambulance, right? So it's. Like a park. You know, when you go to a park, you don't pay for access to the park, but you do pay for access to go to play tennis at Roger Scott or to play golf at Osceola, right? Some services are provided for free to the tax-paying public or anybody, really, because we don't even card you and find out if you're a resident or not. Some services are a hybrid of publicly provided and actually you pay per use, and some services are purely for those who use it only, right? And I don't have the answer for you. I'm just saying I think this is something we should think about. Is the way ambulance services operate right now set up appropriately? Who should be paying? How much should they be paying? And what do we do, particularly with the people who don't or can't pay? The people who we write off to bad debt every year for $10 or $11 million. So anyway, that's the conversation. I will say there was a kind of a positive note that came at the end. And also in this is people who are misusing it, what they call alpha and bravo level calls, low acuity calls that don't really need an ambulance. Because if there's 15 trucks on the road and, you know, 10 calls are out right now for low acuity calls, that's 5 trucks available for the D's and E's, the Deltas and the Echoes. And those are the big dangerous people are dying if we don't respond in time calls. And you can't just drop the A patient to go pick up the D patient. It doesn't work that way, especially if you're on your way to a hospital. And plus there's fraud or abuse. You know, people, hey, I need to go to the hospital. You drop them off and they go across not to Sacred Heart, but they go to the mall. They're like, and that kind of stuff happens too. So anyway, Ashley Hoffberger, who got into this job for this reason.
Speaking of options, and I agree, when in doubt, call 911. That's what I've always done, whether it was law enforcement or ambulance. And fortunately, we have great first responders that respond. Eric, I believe there is a plan coming down the pipeline to kind of head off some of these frequent flyers that are calling for non-emergency things. Do you want to touch on that and kind of give us a little bit of information?
Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety.
I would love to touch on that. So, we're not 100% ready yet, but Chief Watts and myself are working. Well, Chief Watts is primarily working with the hospitals to work on mobile integrated health to identify these high flyers that we can go out and do hands-on and see them before without having to send an ambulance. It's something other communities have done to reduce the call load for the ones who abuse the system, quote unquote abuse the system.
Right, trying to figure out who's taking advantage, who's using it too much. And it's not that you can't use it more than once if you need it more than once, but, you know, some people are genuinely abusing the system and costing us money and taxing it and, stressing it out so that other people don't get the service they need.
We're talking about the ones who, toothaches. We're talking about the ones who peel shop. We're talking about the ones who don't need an ambulance. They get a ride to the hospital and they walk across the road to Cordova Mall. Those are the people we need to stop. We are going to be bringing something out. We're working on a plan. We're formalizing it right now. We're going to talk to Administrator Moreno and lay the plan out, cost, what we're thinking. And like I said, we got buy-in from 3 hospitals. We're actually getting the patients that are inhibiting their care at the hospitals to even help them out to try to relieve the healthcare system as a whole.
Amen to all of that. And by the way, somebody texted in, and it's a good note. There's no cost for EMS coming to your house. There's only a cost for them transporting you to the hospital, which is a good note, too, because, you know, you call them if you're not sure. I actually agree with that. But also there are times when you should know better than you don't need to call or it's not going to threaten somebody's life. Again, you know, if a kid breaks his wrist, I mean, A, it might not even be an emergency, you know, but B, certainly you can drive them if you have a car. 437-1620. So I don't have any neat, tidy, clean answers for you, but you're a taxpayer, you're a voter. You should understand these issues and, you know, think about them and ask some of these questions. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air.
Sit, Stay, and Listen, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow on Pep Talk.
See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sometimes you feel like enough, sometimes you don't.
Standing in line to see the show tonight, and there's a light on, heavy glow.
Oh, I got a note in here from somebody, 437-1620, says, you know, if you think about it, fire and police are a pretty outstanding bargain as a prepaid service. And it is.
It is.
I mean, if you have to have a fire truck come to your house, how much does that cost? You know, really, if you had to pay for it as a fee for service. $3,000, $5,000, you know, and instead you pay $250 and you're covered. You know, if you think of it that way, it's actually pretty good. Of course, you know, 250 seems a lot worse than 100 and a quarter. But, I mean, it's like all insurance. You know, $1,400 a month for health insurance, which is what I pay right now, sucks. Sucks bad. But, you know, it's better than $400,000 in a hospital bill if you get a heart attack or cancer or whatever, you know. So, let's see. John Pickens has got, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, we're dealing with health insurance and the shutdown and the marketplace. And, you know, my wife was explaining to me, because she handles the bills kind of stuff. She's like, so this is how all this relates to us. I'm like, oh, every day. I'm the guy who's like, do we need health insurance? I mean, really, you know, so it's because it's a lot. It's ridiculous.
And then she explains to you,
well, you know, if this and this and this happens, I'm like, I know. Oh, John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John.
All right. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 through the construction zones is flowing smoothly. No accidents to report to you. Started to see some minor delays on Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola right there at the 9 mile scenic highway split. Also, highway, let's see here, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, starting to see just some minor delays in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. It's been 2 years since the October 7th attacks on Israel. Hamas conducted a number of armed incursions into southern Israel that led to the death of over 1,200 civilians, 200 people taken as hostage. Nearly 50 are still being held in the Gaza Strip. President Trump imposing new 25% tariffs on large trucks starting on the 1st of November. Medium and heavy duty trucks imported to the U.S. will face the tariff hike. The president said this week that the new tariffs are meant to protect manufacturers from unfair outside competition. Larger vehicles include delivery trucks, garbage trucks, public utility trucks, transit, shuttles, school buses, and many others. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce urged the Commerce Department not to impose the new tariffs on Mexico, Canada, Germany, and Finland, saying they didn't pose a threat to national security. And a shoe supplier to the stars, Andrew, behind bars in Los Angeles. Police say they've recovered $500,000 in stolen sneakers. Police in Los Angeles said they had done a raid last week and recovered 2,100 pairs of stolen Nikes, as well as some stolen Nike clothing. Cool Kicks CEO Adil Shams apparently was arrested. Police say he was involved in cargo theft.
Interesting. I think the number was actually a little bit higher, but some of those sneakers walked off on their own in the process.
And the dad joke
started. Right. Yeah. Here we go. Oh, did you see the deal where Amazon has digitally edited the pictures of James Bond movie posters to take out the guns?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Like Sean Connery sitting there cross-armed with no Walther PPK in his hands.
Exactly.
Or Roger Moore, they took out the 44 that he's gotten in View to a Kill, and they just made his arms long. So now in response to the backlash over this, they took those photos down, and they put up new photos that aren't the digitally edited ones, but they still don't have guns. Because God forbid somebody would imagine that, you know, James Bond would actually carry and use a firearm. Oh my goodness.